My dearly beloved in Christ, before ascending into heaven, Jesus told his apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." He specifically ended with the comforting words, "Behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." All the evils that have befallen the world as a result of original sin have peaked in the great apostasy or universal loss of faith that we are witnessing today. Satan has attacked the church from within and without and has influenced every aspect of society, causing it to abandon Christian belief and morality in lieu of self-centered secular humanism. To make matters worse, many have been spiritually duped by the counterfeit church established by the heretical Vatican II Council. We're living in the most spiritually dangerous time in history. This is because of the disastrous tragedy of immense proportions that have befallen the church, with its resultant spiritual blindness and loss of grace. We find ourselves struggling to morally survive in a materialistic, sinfully self-centered world. My dearly beloved in Christ, St. Paul foresaw and describes the situation in Holy Scripture when he says, "But know this, that in the last day, dangerous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, covetous, haughty, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, criminal, heartless, faithless, slanderers, incontinent, merciless, unkind, treacherous, stubborn, puffed up with pride, lovers of pleasure more than God, having a semblance indeed of piety, but disowning its power." He so aptly describes our day and age. As people sink deeper into sin, God withdraws his grace and allows fallen nature to follow its course. War and apostasy are punishments for sin. Nevertheless, many still stubbornly refuse to repent, live as God wants them to live, and accept religious truth because they don't want to change their lifestyle. This reminds me of a woman who, when being told of these things, kept repeating, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." This is because she knew that by following the truth and leaving the comfortable place she had in the modern church, she would lose many friends, be misunderstood, and perhaps even be persecuted. In the footsteps of Christ, his holy church is being mystifully crucified. We must, however, not view this as a defeat, as many have erroneously looked upon the crucifixion of Jesus as a defeat. My dearly beloved in Christ, the outlook is bleak, but those with faith and trust in God know he will have the ultimate victory. And then when the Fatima children were asked about the secret of Fatima, Jacinta said, "It's good and bad." And then she said, "What do you mean it's good and bad?" "It's good for those who believe in God." A 15th century prophecy of St. Nicholas of Flue refers to the current crisis in the church. His words, however, end with hope and encouragement, for he saw its final triumph. He wrote, "The church will be punished because the majority of her members, both high and low, will become so perverted. The church will sink deeper and deeper until she will at last seem to be extinguished and the succession of St. Peter and the other apostles to have expired. But after this, she will be gloriously exalted in the sight of all doubters." The true church is now reduced to a remnant. Father Frederick Faber has stated that there will be hardly any mass. The majority of Christians will apostatize, but the church will not be destroyed. Since we're so favored and blessed to still be members of the true church, we need to not only be thankful for this great grace, but must realize and act upon the responsibility that comes with such a blessing. We need to truly live our faith by practicing virtue and cooperating with God's grace. We should make use of the means of grace that our church provides for us and avoid tepidity, worldliness, and complacency. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's also our duty to try to win others to the true Catholic faith. A man by the name of Vincent Wendling of Denver was born in McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. At one time or another, he was a member of the Lutheran, the Baptist, the Congregational, and the Presbyterian churches. Dissatisfied with them all, he became a Catholic in 1907. He joined the Society of Atonement in Graymore, New York, but left when he realized that the religious life was not his vocation. At Mass one day, he had the feeling that he was not sufficiently grateful to God for the grace of conversion. He decided in the future he would do all he could to help those who were looking for the true faith. While in the Merchant Marine, he studied the faith very thoroughly and filled more than 500 scrapbooks with useful information. Since he was very sociable, he attracted people to the faith. After 23 years, he had been responsible for more than 400 conversions. Satan will try every trick and deceit possible to uproot us from the true church. He knows how to slyly replace truth with error and virtue with vice, hiding them in half-truths. If we fail to live our faith and place self-will and self-gratification above God's will and laws, then we become an easy prey for Satan and his diabolical disorientation. Satan has deceived millions of former Catholics to accept a new religion with a new Mass, new sacraments, and new situational doctrines. Since evil spirits constantly seek the ruin of souls, they've devised clever traps such as the Feeneyites, the Home Aloners, the Siri theory, and other false theories to deceive the faithful and deprive them of the primary means of grace, the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the sacraments. Christ warned us, "Take care that no one lead you astray, for many will come and they will lead many astray." We must carefully avoid all dangers to the faith, including evil websites and persons who reject any or all of the teachings of the traditional Catholic Church. St. Cyprian warns, "Do not readily give ear to their deceptive words. Take not darkness for light, nor night for day, nor hunger for plenty, nor thirst for drink, poison for medicine, and death for health." Christ himself has clearly stated that there is no compromise. He who is not with me is against me. There's no middle ground, so don't bother looking for one. My dearly beloved in Christ, how then can a Catholic best safeguard his faith? A Catholic can best safeguard his faith by making frequent acts of faith, by praying for a strong faith, by studying his religion very earnestly, by living a good life, by good reading, by refusing to associate with the enemies of the church, and by not reading books and papers opposed to the church and her teachings. If we want to be on God's winning side in the end, then we must live according to his rules and must use the means of defense that he has given us. The best spiritual weapons we can use for this ongoing battle with the forces of evil around us are those of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the sacraments and the rosary. We must fight under the banner of the Immaculate Heart of Mary with the rosary of the weapon, with the weapon of the rosary in our hand. Let the martyrdom of the following saints be our model. In 1535, a Carthusian priest, Sebastian Nidigate, who was a close friend of King Henry VIII, and two monks, Humphrey Middlemore and William Exmew, were told to accept the monarch as the head of the church in England, and therefore to leave the Catholic faith. They refused and were thrown into prison. both in Marshall Lucia, where they had to stand for 14 days bound to pillars with iron rings around their necks, hands, and feet, and in the London Tower, Henry VIII visited Sebastian and tried to make him yield on the matters of the king's new title, head of the church. Nidigate answered, "When in court, I served your majesty. I did it loyally and faithfully, and so continue still your humble servant, although kept in this prison and in bonds. But in matters that belong to the faith and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine of the Catholic Church, and the salvation of my poor soul, your majesty must be pleased to excuse me." The king replied, "Are you wiser and holier than all the bishops and priests of my kingdom?" Nidigate answered, "I may not judge of others, nor do I esteem myself holy or wise, being far short in either. Only this I assure myself, that the faith and doctrines I profess are no new thing, nor now invented, but always among the faithful held for Christian and Catholic. We must obey God rather than man." Sebastian Nidigate and his two companions, martyrs, were hanged, drawn, and quartered at Tyburn on May 25th, 1535. Hopefully, by the grace of God, we'll be able to stand firm no matter what. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.